Welcome to Michigan Ice Guys, podcasting to help you fish hard water better.
Hey guys, welcome back to what Steph and I have just figured out to be our seventh season of MI Ice Guys. Yeah, we're jonesing for ice just as bad as you guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Waiting to, you know, the only other thing is watching the deer on the side of the road, hoping they don't jump out, or the ones that did jump out and didn't make it across.
Or if I'm driving my truck, I'm hoping they do jump out and they don't.
Yeah, they'd get you a new truck.
One way to get one.
One of the big things that we wanted to talk about this, as we do in the first episode every year, is a little bit of fall prep. And if you haven't got started on that fall prep, I'm looking at the weather forecast here in West Michigan for the next couple of days. It's going to be dry.
Beautiful out.
You could get out that shanty and air it out.
Clean it out. Check for any mice damage.
Yeah, I know I got my pop-up out the other day and aired it out. It had a little bit of odor. I think I might have put it away wet one day.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go through and do that. And as Steph mentioned, the mice, make sure the mice didn't get into it. If you didn't listen to our last episode in the spring about how to put your gear away correctly, you might have a little critters or even some spider webs and things. You just want to clean that out. Maybe do a little stitch work.
Pack a few dryer sheets in there.
Yeah, that always freshens it up. You know, mm-hmm. Cheap dryer sheets are a great thing. Bugs and critters don't like them, so they put them out. It's also a great time of the year. The bait shops are not out of line yet. And you could go grab a big spool of line and take all those reels that were... Maybe you skipped changing line last year. Maybe you're not a guy that gets out as much as we do. But, you know, changing out that line. I mean, you know, Steph, you and Chad Chad burns through a lot of line.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the things that you want to look for in that is, you know, first off is some nicks in there.
A lot of times what you can do is just peel off that first 30-foot of line, because how often are you fishing really more than 30 feet?
Yeah, you know. If you want to skip a year. But if you skipped last year, you may be running a little low.
Well, it depends on what you put on there. You don't want to pull a Tony and just have, you know, 6 feet of line on the rod.
Yeah, Anthony's notorious for that. But by checking your line, you know, just give it a visual. Does it look off color of the nice stuff that's still in the box that hasn't seen any UV?
Yeah.
Feel it. Are there any nicks in it? Give it a tug. Does it break extra easy? Some different things like that, because you don't want to be into that first ice and get into a nice gill that's on a fresh weed bed.
Or a crappie.
Oh, yeah, if there's a crappie. And have it snap off. You want to have durable line on there. Line is not that expensive. It's a real easy way to do it. Grab the kids. They love to help pull that line off of the rods and hold the spool while you crank on some new, and once you get it cranked on the base, you can even let the kids crank, and you can control the tension on the spool.
And things when you're spooling too, if you're doing the schoolie reels, you can backfill those with some rubber bands, so you can then put the line on. Don't fill them up completely with line; it'll put too much pressure on the spool, and over a couple of years, it'll make the spool actually will split in half on you.
Yep, I've seen that. I've actually done a couple of mine with some paracord. Mm-hmm. Just a couple of laps of paracord on the backside there. It fills them in a little bit.
Just don't get it tight. Just keep it loose.
Yeah, and then you can tie off to that and get it on there. Just be careful that you keep it loose, but keep it smooth in there. Mm-hmm. And that's going to save some money on line. Like Steph pointed out, how often do you fish over 30 feet through the ice? Yeah.
And on your spinning rods, check your spool edges. Make sure there's no little nicks or burrs on there. I don't know how many times, like you've been in a parking lot and you dropped your rod. And check that spool rim. Make sure there's no nicks on it, because that'll wear on your line too and could cost you a fish.
Yeah, you want to do a lot of maintenance. Spinning rods, I think those reels take a little bit more maintenance. Now, I'll pull the reel off, and I give them a clean. I just use some solvent in there and clean off any old gook and grease and grime. Maybe there's some line wrapped up under there, stuff like that. And then get a nice silicone lubricant. I buy the food grade stuff because we use it here at the brewery, but put a little bit of that on there. It's thick, it keeps the water out, and it will lube up those parts. You can even get away with doing that in the gears if your has a side accessible port in it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can do a little cleanup in there. It's a great bench thing to do while you're listening to a game on the radio or something like that. But you want to get the prep. Now, when you were talking about those nicks on the reel, there's two things that work perfectly for that. One of them is just a nail file. You know, those emery boards that grandma used on stuff? Mm-hmm. I keep them in my ice fishing jacket because how many times during the winter did you get that little tag of skin or something by the edge of your nail that starts catching line and stuff? I can just kind of hone that off, but it works really great for cleaning up that equipment too. You know, the edge of the spool there. You can even find some other spots that you can use it. I've sharpened a hook with it. Mm-hmm. It works very good. The other one is just a little piece of emery cloth, some pretty fine stuff.
Yeah, and check those eyelets on those rods as well.
Yeah, eyelets, just go down through the whole rod. And, you know, check the rod itself.
I actually had a bass rod this summer that I lost a lure on, and I couldn't figure out why my line broke. Well, there was one of the eyelets was missing a ring. So when you cast after cast after cast, it kept hitting that eyelet, and finally it just snapped right there.
Yep. So take a look at the eyelets. Take a look at the rod itself. Hey, you know, these $30 rods or $10 rods or whatever school you're in on it, they don't last forever. Sometimes, you know, car doors, the buckets, things thrown in them on the sleds, that fiberglass starts to crack, and you might need to replace a rod.
Yeah, now's a good time, too, when it's still pretty nice out, to get out there and polish up those sleds.
Yeah.
Get those cleaned up as well.
You know, I was looking at my jet sled, and it does have some burrs on it, so I'm going to have to kind of polish that down. And one of the things I learned a few years ago from one of the guys was put a little bit of car wax on it. And you could use ski wax or something like that, but on a nice sunny day you can put some wax on the bottom of that sled after you take care of all the nicks and things and drags on it, and it's going to slide a lot easier across the ice, and that means you don't have to work so damn hard. I'm all in favor of that
until you can break the quad out.
Yeah, until the ice is thick enough for the quad, then we don't seem to care. Yep. Just drag away. But doing some of those prep things. Now, I got my suit out. It's sitting over here in the corner of the studio, Steph. I pulled the suit out to make sure that, you know, all the pieces there. What's in the pockets? What's not in the pockets?
What did I forget to take out of the pockets?
I didn't find that bait puck. We were looking for a bait puck earlier and had to break into a bag of new ones. But find that bait buck. If you forgot bait in it last year, go outside before you open it. Mm-hmm. It could need a little washing. And those are dishwasher safe if you've got the Strike Master or the Clam or, you know, any of the common screw top bait pucks. And speaking of which, you know, that's another thing that you want to put on the list for early in the season purchases because they run out.
Yeah.
And I did get a rumor today that the HT supplies have been restricted up in shipping or something. So you may need to look at another one. And they do make great stocking stuffers or to have a couple extra because you know your buddy's going to forget them. Just write your name on them with a Sharpie so maybe you'll get them back. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's just a lot of equipment that you got. Find that spud because you're going to need that in early ice. Yeah, the rescue rope. Yep. And, you know, maybe even a whether it's a buoy or a personal flotation device or something like that, start prepping up and getting that stuff around before you're heavy into deer camp. And then next thing you know, it's going to be ice.
It's already, yep.
Because I'm not believing this El Nino thing until I see it. I want ice before Christmas. There's a lot of things I've still got to go through. I got to go through some hooks and things like that, make sure everything's sharp and cleaned up and organized.
Go through the jigs, clean the eyelets, make sure they're all ripped, roaring, ready to go.
Yeah, if you're busting out new eyelets, cleaning out, or new jigs, cleaning out a little bit of that paint in the eyelet. Save you a lot of time out on the ice.
Check for paint on the end of the hook. Yeah. A lot of them, I find, got little nips of paint right on the tip of the hook.
I was three misses last spring on a Wonder Glow before I realized that I had a nip of there, and it wasn't, it's like having a safety tip on it. It just wouldn't hook. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things out there in the garage. Go through your stuff, clean it out, organize it up. Make sure you, because, you know, that last day that you went out, you probably just crammed stuff in. You didn't put it away right. lube the reels, check the line, check your safety equipment too. I know that if you left your catulas or other spikes on your boots all summer long, double check and make sure that that rubber didn't crack or anything like that, that it's not going to bust off the first time you try and go out there and then slip and fall.
It's a good time, too, to sit down and go and through an inventory of your plastics, make sure you're all set there.
Yeah, just get a handle on the things. When we come back, we're going to talk about a few more specific things that you can get lined up on that. And later in the episode, we're going to tell you about some special ice events that we're going to be at and doing some seminars.
Look forward to seeing you there.
Chill out. We'll be right back.
Guys, when you're out on the ice, do you protect your eyes? The MI Ice Guys have partnered with Costa Del Mar sunglasses. Made in America, made by hand. The thinnest glass technology for sunglasses. 100% UV protection. We love our Costas so much, we took them to Finland, to the Worlds. They allowed us to see where other people had been drilling before, protected our eyes in the blowing snow, and kept us looking good on the ice. Made in America, Costa Del Mar sunglasses. Get them online, get them at a local retailer near you. Remember, tell them the MI Ice Guys sent you, and you need the best.
Guys, we're back. Season 7 for the Ice Guys. Can you believe it? Now, Steph just asked me a thing during the commercial break there. They've got podcast awards.
Yes.
I guess it's iHeartMedia is doing podcast awards coming up here. And I don't know how we get nominated. But if you guys got a way to get the word out about our podcast, go ahead and email some friends or, you know, down at the bottom of our webpage, there's that sign up thing.
Yeah.
And if you put somebody's email in, they'll get an email reminder. Hey, do you want to be part of MI Ice Guys notification program?
We'll put a link on the Facebook page.
Yeah, we'll put something out there. But it,
we find something.
You know, we appreciate all of you guys listening to us. Yes. And coming up and asking the questions. You know, and that's one of the fun things on our website is you can do an Ask an MI Ice Guy, and it goes out to the whole pack of us. I think this year I've talked Jake into helping out on that as well. Uncle Myron, he's still pretty busy. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to answer those. But if we need a clarification from the senior member of the team, we'll call him up.
Definitely.
But one of the topics that comes up every year and bites so many people in the butt is batteries. Now, the battery in your bucket or the battery for your flash or wherever you mount it, we do hopper buckets quite a bit. Those batteries, if you don't charge them up once in a while, they can go to crap. And, you know, they're in the cold, in the warm. Those batteries take a lot of abuse. And they're not an expensive battery. But the day you get out on the ice and you have a dead one, oh, man, is that kind of depressing.
You'll do anything to have one back.
So this time of year, we like, you know, hey, throw them on the charger, cycle them a few times, run them down. I know I grabbed a little LED light and put some alligator clips on it, and I can use that to run my battery down a ways and then charge it back up, and it just kind of gives it a test of how long it's going to last. You could just use your flasher to run it down if you want, especially if you have an old mechanical style motor flasher. Those will burn them down pretty quick, and it'll also give you an idea about how long that battery will last. Now, if you need a new battery, obviously, you can run over to our friends at Allen Bob's or any of the other good sporting shops if you're out to the east side of town, Sadler's there, and pick up a new battery. But if you're not close to one of those bait shops, you know, Home Depot's got them. Mm-hmm. And they're probably $25 to $30. I like to have a spare.
Yeah, definitely.
And I've actually got a spare charger that goes off my 12-volt in my truck and can keep one charged in the truck. And that way, if you're going out for a long day, you got to back up, and maybe you only have to go back to the truck to get that battery rather than having to go all the way home to the barn or wherever you charge them.
Yeah, my spare battery has come in handy for a few buddies.
Yeah, I mean, we loan them out, yeah. Steph's rescued me, I've rescued Steph. I'm getting a couple of new ones myself.
Yeah.
Because couple of other projects took a battery in the middle of the summer. I said, I'm going to use this old one, get a new one in the fall. Well, it's time to get that new one. Now, another topic that Steph brought up was the quad.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget that.
How many times have you used your quad this summer?
Hardly any. Yeah.
You know, I used mine for a little bit of yard work.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, your yard your quad barely turns around in your little bitty yard.
Yeah.
We need a bigger place to run your big monster Can-Am, but the quad battery, make sure it's up to snuff and it's starting your quad.
Because that first cold day is going to snap it.
Yeah. Make sure that it's check the date on it. If that thing's 3, 4, or 5 years old, you might consider replacing it anyway. If it's one that has serviceable ports in it, get some distilled water, top that thing up after it's charged, before and after. But make sure that it's up to snuff in between those two little lines that they give you on the side there. You know, maybe you got to pull it out of the quad to get it up and checked. But it's worth doing that and checking the connections, because the day you want to take the quad out.
Yeah, make sure it's not all corroded and nasty looking, and make sure the connections are good and sound.
Yeah, you don't want to do quad maintenance on fishing day.
No.
You want to put it in the truck or on the trailer and go. So check
mine was like 4 or 5 years old, and I was up in Gold Nord Championship, and it was like, you know, 5 below or something, and she wouldn't even turn over.
Right.
So off the Napa I went, and here I am in a parking lot at, you know, 5, 10 below degrees, messing with my battery, taking it out and swapping it out.
Cold fingers, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be better to take care of it this time of the year, and a lot of you guys are going to want it ready for deer, you know, dragging the deer out of the woods too, so... Make sure you pay attention to those batteries. Any of the other equipment you have that has batteries, if you got a headlamp, make sure the batteries didn't get left in that.
I charged my AquaView camera yesterday.
Oh, yeah, the AquaView. Yep. There's another thing. The little lapel light that you got that for, you know, when it gets a little dark, charging up your glows. You know, hey, there's a lot of things. The other thing you got to think about this time of the year is the weed beds. Where are the weed beds? Pick out your two favorite lakes, and before you winterize your boat, go take a day.
Check them out with the electronics. And
use the boat electronics. You spend a lot of money on those. But also, if you find a piece of structure that you want to do, fling your transducer over the side from your Markham or Vex and get a feel for what's there. Use your GPS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially like the GPS on the phone. If you use Navionics like we do, you know, mark a spot. Yeah. And you want to be able to go right back to that when the ice is there. Knowing where that is, even on snow-covered ice, knowing where there's a weed bed is going to give you an advantage, because you can decide you want to work the edge of it, you want to work the center of it. Take yourself, you know, if it's a big weed bed, take 3, 4 points on there and mark them down on your GPS.
Hey, mark a nice school of fish. You might want to stop and try for them.
Yeah, you could catch some fish out that day, too. It's just a nice prep day. And besides, you know, here it is. It's October. If you're not out in the tree stand, it's a great day to be outdoors. You could take the kids with you.
Colors are awesome out there in spots still.
Yeah.
It's pretty out there on the water.
It's a great time before you put the boat away. Maybe it's your last trip of the season, but, you know, do a little recon, as we say, and get yourself an education about what's out there and where you can go, so that when it's that day to get out there, you can get on fish. Identifying a spring, that's another one. If you can find the spring, we figured out on Steph's Lowrance what those look like when we're in side scan mode. Then I'd marked them down, and then one day I was just out by myself and went out on one of our favorite lakes and walked right out there, and I worked around that spring. And, hey, that's where the crappie were schooled. I was like, wow. That's nice. I thought about it, and I'm like, oh, look, there's water movement. That's going to be more oxygen. So that's where they schooled. So there's a lot of prep things. Now, Steph, what other prep things are you thinking?
I don't think just going through your quad and your attachments for, like, your auger, make sure everything's sound and not loosened up.
If that cordless drill that you run... we were talking, we had a bite to eat with Chad yesterday, and we're talking about who needs blades. You want to get those blades on order, because
get them sharpened.
Yeah. If you have straight blades, Mora style, Alan Bob's can sharpen those for you. A lot of times, if they're not real busy, they'll do them while you wait. Otherwise, you drop them off, pick them up a day or two later. And I think it's only like $7 or $8 a set. It's really reasonable.
You know anybody that does a curved, like the laser blades?
There's a guy in Minnesota that you got to ship them off to. But Really haven't got that done. I've got a little honing stone that I use for just tuning up little nicks. But for a lot of times, I just get a new set of blades. One of the cool things that I found last year was on our Strike Master augers, it's an 8mm nut on there. And it comes in from the backside, so it's a hex nut. I found those little ratchet wrenches, box end ratchet, that make it real quick and easy to take that bolt in or out.
Yep.
And tighten them up before you go out on the ice. Check those blades. You got your blade guard? Or did you lose that, you know? You can build yourself a little list, and if you're in south of us, you could probably put them on your Christmas list. If you're north of us, you might want to get to them a little quicker. But they're always some important things you want to be prepped for. When we come back in our next segment, we're going to talk about some upcoming ice days and ice nights that we have planned at some local bait shops where you can get a deal and hear us tell some stories and give you some advice about fishing, as well as a lot of our other ice buddy pros. We're the MI Ice Guys, jonesing for some ice so we can go fishing, but dreaming all the way. We'll be right back. Hey guys, Chaz here from the MI Ice Guys. I want to talk to you about K&E Stopper Lures, especially the Scandia line of tungsten jigs. I've been having a great time fishing with these this year and last year. The new colors are awesome. Check them out. Get out there to your local sporting goods shop and look for that blue packaging with yellow text on it. Pick up a Scandia lure or 10. It's a whole lot of fun to fish with. They're bright, they're durable, and good stuff. Guys, we're back and we're excited for ice. I mean,
man, ready for it.
What do you think? What's your best guess? When?
When? I'm thinking probably December 20th.
December 20th? Okay.
Yeah.
That's usually a pretty safe bait. I'm hoping like maybe the weekend before. But, of course, that weekend before that is the championship for the NAIFC.
Yep. Those yahoos are usually on the ice by before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. They get in before we do for some, you know. It's that cold weather blowing in off the plains. And we just have to deal with Lake Michigan warming
right
our air up.
Canada and blast them.
Yeah. But anyway, we're getting ready for ice. I've been doing some booking, and we've got our first ice days are going to be at DNR Sports this year. Just the way the calendar lands, it's going to be December 1st and 2nd, Saturday and a Sunday, down just west of Kalamazoo. It's always a great time. K&E Stopper Lures with the Scandia jigs and all the other great items they have. They're going to be having us down to do some seminars, and we are going to be featuring our big pro fishermen's panel. And I think I've got Jack scheduling that one each day to where you'll be able to come down, and four or five professional ice fishermen are going to be standing there ready to answer your question. And we're going to talk about what you want to talk about. I think we're even going to have one guy down there that does some spearing and is good at it. I know that's something you keep talking about wanting to try. I haven't done it since I was a kid.
It's been a while.
But we're going to do that on December 1st and 2nd. And then the following Thursday, we're going to be up in Grand Rapids at Al and Bob Sports, their new location down there at 68th Street and 131. If you haven't been there, it's a nice big place. They merged with Millbrook Tack, and that means they're in with the hot country girls. There are these hot cowboy girls in there. You got to get past them to get back to the grumpy old fishing guys like Scotty DeVries. But they've got a great selection of equipment. They put in all new shelf fixtures and everything in there. They're going to roll that stuff out of the way because all their shelving now is on wheels. They're going to roll it out of the way, and right in the middle of everything that you can buy, we're going to hold the seminar.
Nice.
And during all of those events, there are deals you can't pass up. I know that our friend Jack Horning from K&E, he has promised that we're going to do the buy three tungsten jigs from Scandia, get one free. That's a hell of a deal, and there's no limit on those. I mean, we had a guy last year, I think he bought 30.
Yeah.
And he was taking care of Christmas or something. He was shopping. They also have probably the smallest dippers, the yellow ones that we found. And they put an extra long handle on them for us big guys. And it's a small one, so those guys using the 4 and 5 inch holes can dip the slush out of those. That's a great deal on them. Rod pods, love the rod pods. They keep your rods from getting all busticated up and tangled up. He's got some new things he's kind of whispering in my ear about that there's going to be at the show. So mark those down on your calendar, whether you're in the Kalamazoo area or the Grand Rapids area or both. Come visit us. We're working on booking some more things. I know we'll probably be out to Sadler's around the first of the year. And we're talking with a couple other places about doing an ice night as well and having our sponsors bring in some stuff. Big news this year is that Allen Bob's is now a Costa Del Mar dealer. Nice. So you can check out some of the really good optics. I know if you're a longtime listener, you've heard Steph and I talk about the advantage we've had out on the ice, especially in world competition. Hazy, rainy, blustery days. Great glasses are a must.
Yeah, cutting that glare is fantastic with those glasses.
And if your eyes are strained or not protected, one of the guys explained to me that your eyes hurt because they're basically sunburned. And with good UV protection, good wind protection, because those are big enclosed glasses, man, it makes all the difference in their comfort being out there, as well as the advantage of being able to see old holes. Seeing cracks in the ice, discolorations, different things that are going to give you clues on where to catch more fish. So we've got some pretty good excitement coming up on those. We're also, I've been talking to two more Boy Scout troops. And we're going to do our Boy Scout adventure in probably February again.
Nice.
And that'd be good. February is going to be busy for us this year.
We had the Cub Scouts out, too, last year,
didn't we? Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, we're going to have a mix of them again.
Both of them, cool.
And, show the next generation what fun ice fishing is. And if you guys can take the time to take, a neighbor out with his kids, with your kids, and show them all that this is a lot of fun and it beats the hell out of sitting back playing Nintendo or something.
Yeah, last year we went through a lot of rods and tackle packs for the kids.
Oh, yeah.
They had a great time.
Our sponsors are great at supplying us with some gear to be able to provide those kids with stuff so they can pester the old man forevermore to go fishing. Now, the other big news that we got is Steph broke it to me the other day that the NAIFC tournaments in Michigan this year, there are going to be two. So if you think you're a big stick on the ice and you really know it, and I hear the lip from a lot of the guys, there's going to be your opportunity to come out and fish against the pros in the Midwest and get into some big money, prize money, if you're a winner. Now, the first of those is going to be up there at Hardy. And up there in the Croton-Hardy area on probably Super Bowl weekend. We haven't gotten 100% competition or confirmation on that yet.
Yep. We'll post those dates when we
get them. And there are seminars, there are fishing clinics for kids. There's a whole lot of things going on. So even if you're not fishing, it's a great thing to come watch. You can come watch the weigh-in up there. There's just a lot of adventure that goes on with that. And then the second one is a week following on Lake St. Helen. Now that's off over there just to the east of Houghton Lake, for those of you that are navigationally challenged in the state. And that one, actually, Steph and I have been named tournament directors on because our good friend Jack Baker is going to be watching his daughter's final competition.
Final swim meet.
Of her collegiate career. So everybody's pretty excited about that. So you're going to see us out officiating that day and organizing the tournament. We're going to be assisting at Hardy just to make sure that we know exactly all the tips and tricks from Jack. So that's going to be pretty exciting. Now, I've also heard our buddy Keith Niffen was telling me that there might be a resurgent of the Frostbite series.
Awesome. So, that'd be great.
If you guys know of a ice fishing tournament, even just a local one, and want to drop us a note on the Ask an MI Ice Guy through the website or Facebook or however you want to get a hold of us, let us know because, hey, sometimes we want to come compete. Sometimes we just want to come hang. It's a lot of fun, and we're jonesing for ice. We've got the national championships coming up. Steph and I are trying to figure out if we're headed out for that there in mid-December. Where is that? Is that one Rhinelander way? Or
that one will be it's in Minnesota.
Is it in Minnesota this year? Okay.
Yeah.
I know I did
same
see
place
some.
It was last year.
Oh, okay. Pinehurst Resort. Yes. That's the one it is. I just had to look it up there on the website. Check that out. But, guys, there's a lot going on for the ice. And if you think you've got the skills, you know, get in a couple of tournaments. It's fun, especially if you get to take your best fishing partner with you. And get out there and hone your skills. Show off your stuff. Maybe win a little money or some prizes.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of cool stuff there.
You'll at least win bragging rights.
Yeah, yeah. So we're the MI Ice guys, and when we come back, we've got some more surprises we're going to talk about. Hey, guys. Schmoe's now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoe's as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
Welcome back to the MI Ice Guys. We're talking about, do you got bait?
Bait's one of those topics that everybody always comes to me and they say, do you use live bait or do you use plastic? Which live bait do you use? All this kind of different things. And this time of the year is a good time to start thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
In the past couple of years, I've seen more and more places that are selling bulk live bait. And it's not just spikes. You can get your wax worms. You can get mousies, all that stuff, just like the bait shops do. And if you fish enough and maybe you got a garage fridge, you can just put those out there. Not everybody's a bachelor like you, Steph.
Have a garage fridge, too.
Keep your bait right next to
the... I keep them in the regular fridge.
Between the eggs and the salad dressing. But you can buy these big bulk packages for really pretty reasonable if you keep them correctly.
At the right temperature.
Right temperature, right moisture level. Yeah. You want to give them a little air, you know.
A lot of the containers are vented on top, so they're pretty vented. We don't want to dry out too much, or they don't like that. There's like a happy...
Yeah.
Medium there.
And sometimes you got to change the medium that they're in. You know, what did they compact in? Is it loose enough? Stir them up, shake them up once in a while, check them out. It's one of those things. The plastics, yeah, there's probably not that much maintenance on the plastics other than sort them out. I know that you and I both have our big containers of plastics.
Yep.
I use the pretzel jars, the big giant plastic pretzel jars. And then you've got your book with all your Ziplocs in it. But there's a good way to get organized, see where you're at. And then we each work with a small bait container that has multiple compartments in it that we use out on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
Can fit in a coat pocket. So you load up 4 or 5 of each of the colors and sizes and shapes into each of the bins, and you're good to go out on the ice.
Yeah. Most days, you just got to let the fish tell you what they want. I mean, if you're on plastic and that's what they want and they're going for it, you continue with it, obviously.
Yeah.
But there's some days where they prefer meat.
Yeah, and, you know, and they might want a different kind of meat.
Oh, yeah. Spikes, different colored spikes, mousies, waxworms.
Was
it? The way you rig them.
It was Nate. Wasn't it Nate that brought over the blue spikes last year?
Mm-hmm.
And he got them somewhere in Wisconsin. He brought over a big tub of...
Minnesota has them, too. Like yellow, blue,
all these different colored spikes that we normally don't see here in Michigan. So there's some opportunity to do some ordering on that stuff. And if you guys work at a bait shop and you're listening to us, hey, you know, there's some idea about for your customers to be able to offer them when you do your bulk orders. Maybe, you know, sell them a bulk pack, too. It's a really interesting concept of keeping your own. Now, there's also the guys that still go out and look for corn borers out in the corn cobs and the golden rods and do their own stuff. And I know a couple of guys that they do the European mount deer. And so they're raising a fair amount of maggots. And at the end of that, some of them are scraping the maggots up and putting them in tubs to use them during the ice. There's a lot of possibilities out there for guys that fish a lot to always have bait on hand and to be a little more in tune with it. Now, I was reading a little bit about coloring and how you can use the food coloring on the material that the grubs are eating to color them.
Yeah, I think that's how they get them, the different colored spots.
Yeah, so I was thinking, hey.
To some degree, you are what you eat.
Maybe we need to color up some of our own and get some funky colors going. That might be the trick for the winter. For those of you that are looking for a little home project, maybe with those teenage kids, that could be a really cool playing with the bugs thing.
Just keep a lid on them.
Keep a lid on them. yeah. And, you know, do some research on them. I've been reading more and more about the temperature, the moisture level, the how loose of a medium to have them in, how much oxygen they need, things like that to make sure my bait fridge isn't set too cold. You don't want to freeze them. I know that out on the ice, we were talking earlier about the bait pucks, that there's some days you got to keep it inside your jacket. And there's days when we've had them outside our jacket too long, and you know, they probably don't last past that day.
Bait puck turns into a rattle can. It don't take long to warm them up.
Warm them up, and you might get that day out of them, but they're probably not going to last another day afterwards.
No, you keep them froze.
Yeah, if you kept them froze, that'd be a different thing. But if you want live, real wiggling bait, you can't let them freeze. They just don't survive that. What are your other thoughts on bait for the year, Steph? I mean, you know, we've played with all kinds of different things. The idea about, you know, we've talked about raising your own, about buying the bulks and things like that, getting your plastics. If you're going to do an online plastic order, now's a good time to get that going.
Or get with your buddies.
Yeah. Now, we've tossed the idea out here a couple of times and haven't got a whole lot of feedback on it about doing a swap night here at the brewery where you come in with your 500 pieces of one plastic and some little containers and let's do some sharing.
I'll give you 20 of these and I'll take 20 of those.
20 for 20.
Yeah, you know, just a little plastic swap.
So if you guys are interested in that, let us know. There's various ways to get a hold of us and tell us those things. You know, you can, if you've got the four or five buddies you always fish with, you can do the same thing with live bait.
Yeah.
One guy each buys, you know, one guy buys spikes, one buys waxies, and so on.
Yeah, instead of ordering the 20 pack or whatever, you might order 100 pack of them with your buddies there, and then you can all divvy them up.
Yeah, and the plastics, doesn't seem to matter how many you order. The shipping's the same.
Yep.
You know, it's just one single pack for the, they don't weigh that much. The other things that you probably ought to be looking at is start poking around in the catalog, seeing what's new out there. I did see that Clam's coming out with some new floating suits. Nice. I got another line of those. More of the guys are getting into the idea that it's safer to have that floating suit. I know that's the suit I dug out in case we go river fishing, but bring the floating suit. Oh, hey, we never talked about boots.
Oh, no, the boots.
The boots, man. I'll tell you, last year, by the end of the season, nobody could find the Norfin boots. Or all there were little bitty sizes.
Those are lightweight and warm.
They are awesome. Check the liner. You might need a new set of liners. I know that when we were overseas in Kazakhstan, that Chad ended up needing a new set of liners. So they went to the bait shop, and they have a liner called the Apocalypse. That was like negative 100 Celsius below liner.
It's ridiculous, yeah.
You might have to get online and order those. I don't think we see those temperatures in Michigan that much. But I think up there on the shelf stuff, I've still got the packaging for that somewhere around here. But, you know, pull that liner out of your boot. Hey, could be mice in there too. You know, you want to check that stuff out before it's the day to, you know, the day you really want to stick your feet in them and go. But, you know, it's early in the season. Season's almost here, I guess we should say.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Steph's made his prediction, the 20th of December, so we'll see if that happens. I remember a couple of years at DNR when we were looking out and there was skim ice on the ponds going down to Kalamazoo, and that was pretty exciting. So, guys, remember those dates that we've got coming up. DNR Sports on the 1st and 2nd of December and the 6th of December at Allen Bob's. Those are our hard ones right now. We've also got opportunity coming up at a few other things, but we'll keep you in check with those. Otherwise, get your gear ready, man. Water's going to freeze.
Yes, sir.
And we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Talk to you again. Thanks for your time.
MI Ice Guys would like to thank you for joining us once again for one of our podcasts. Be sure to subscribe on MIIceGuys.com so that you don't miss any of our tips and hear a little bit about our fishing stories. Be safe out there, guys. Enjoy the fishing. It may thaw soon.